You're listening to 1485 Radio Today.
All right, and it is with great pleasure that I welcome in studio somebody who I've wanted to meet for the longest time, and it's a warm welcome to Gilan Gork. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Thanks and for having me. Just thank you so much for your time. It's absolutely brilliant to have you here.
Thank you.
Our listeners will have seen you on television. You were on a Nolene show as well, I believe. I didn't see that, but I saw you on Carte Blanche.
Yes.
Doing some amazing things. And you started very young, I believe. Now, for those listeners, is anybody out there who does not know who Gilan is, he calls himself a mentalist. It conjures up strange pictures because he's not nuts at all. But it's all about, you tell me what it's all about, understanding what people are thinking, how people react. Yeah. What motivates people?
Well, all of this stuff goes into the mix. But a mentalist is anyone who does something with the mind. So anything like reading what people are thinking, to predicting what people will do or say before they even know that they're going to do or say it. And it can go all the way into things like telekinesis, which would be things like bending metal with the mind and all that kind of stuff. So anything really to do with the mind, and we do it in an entertaining way. So, yeah, okay. that would sum up what a mentalist is.
Now, you started very young. Your parents had a shop, which used to get magic stuff from the shop, magic sets and what have you. And in fact, I believe you were vice president of the Joburg Magic Circle at a very young age, 17 or 18 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've been with magic, for want of a better word, all your life.
It's always been a passion of mine. You know, when I was really younger, Errol, I didn't even know what mentalism was. Hmm. For me, it was magic tricks and my parents owning an educational toy center. They'll bring these big boxes home from their international toy fairs.
Complete with a wand.
With the wand and all the little trick packs of cards and all those cute things, And I used to just be obsessed with that, and I went around showing people what I could do. And it's what we call the allied arts, which is mentalists, hypnotists, and magicians, and the three of them, there's a lot of overlap between them.
Yes.
So through the magicians, I landed up meeting mentalists who were traveling through town, and after meeting them, I found that I had a knack for that, so I went in that direction.
Okay, now, life for you must have been so far been very rewarding, because you're well known, you get to see and meet all kinds of people and perform at all kinds of venues on different stages around the country.
Yeah.
It's all about showmanship, isn't it? It's largely about showmanship. It's about your standing there and getting that audience on your side with the oohs and the ahs.
Absolutely. You know, to have these abilities and to learn these skills, you got to decide what you have to do with it. And for me, my passion was to entertain people, to uplift people, inspire them, and communicate my message through my art and mentalism. So, of course, the minute you get up on a stage, you know, my theater show, for example, is 2.5 hours with an interval. I have to do stuff that's going to entertain people. And if I do just, you know, mind reading the entire night and keep it all plain and simple, it can get a little bit boring. So I've got some really dynamic ways of demonstrating that and interacting with people. So that's where the showmanship side does come in.
Tell us, I've got lots of questions I want to ask you, but tell us about the show. The press release says that there will be the virtual and mental experiences that will change the lives of those who see the unbelievable events unfolding before them. So what is it? Are there sets? Are there props? Can you give us some idea of what to expect?
Yeah, the set is very, very minimalistic, because the stars of the show are the people who come up to help me. And we have a couple of really exciting world firsts in our show. So, for example, one person in the show will have the opportunity to have their mind reading abilities unlocked. And so they'll go on to read the minds of three other randomly selected people in the audience. So it's things like that will absolutely change the way that people view our minds and the power of our minds.
So are you saying that anybody could acquire the skill?
Yes, absolutely. I'm not psychic, so I don't have any supernatural powers. It's
you
a
don't
skill
hear
that
voices?
I've learned. I don't hear voices in my head. I don't exactly. Anyone can learn to do what I do. You know, I've simply unlocked abilities that we all already possess. So I demonstrate that in the show, and we get people up, and through a process of elimination, I find one person who I then go, you know, unlock their mind reading abilities.
Now, of course, there are a lot of psychic, a lot of cynical people, and I'm a bit of a cynic as well.
Good.
and there's always the question or the comment that, oh, there's a plant in the audience. Yeah. Oh, yeah. yes, there's somebody there who, you know, I've been to see David Copperfield, and I've been to see a lot of these guys, and they are just amazing. But for me, to have a plant in every audience and to make sure that that person or those people are not known and not uncovered is quite a mission. So what is your comment about having plants in the audience and people who are prepared and groomed?
Yeah, you know, we eliminate that because you're not the only person who thinks that. In fact, yes. That would be the only explanation that you could possibly think yes. of that we do these things. So what I do to be completely unbiased and to choose people completely randomly is I throw stuff into the audience. So, you know, I'll throw anything from pillows to balls and
bouncing,
whatever. And
people, wherever the ball lands, whoever grabs that is E.
Exactly. And we'll have that being thrown around a bit. So it's completely randomized in that way. Okay. And anyone, really anyone can come up. So if you're listening to this right now, perhaps you will have your mind reading abilities unlocked when you come to the show.
All right, now let's get specific. How do you read somebody's mind without going into all the nitty-gritties and the details? I mean, if I said to you, can you read my mind right now, what am I thinking about, would you be able to do that? Or would you have to say, no, we do it on stage? Or how would it work?
Okay, yes, I could. I could read your mind right now. Obviously, there's a process to anything.
Yes.
So like I mentioned, I'm not going to suddenly start hearing your voice in my head.
Yes.
But we could try. Should we try a little warm-up experiment? And maybe in a little bit, we could try a more complex experiment.
Okay.
Would you like to do that?
Yes, yeah? Absolutely.
This is a nice warm-up experiment because it's very visual. And especially guys, compared to women, are very visual thinkers. So I have over here, this is a Rubik's Cube with different colors all around. This is like a piece from a Rubik's Cube. Go ahead and grab that over there. Now, Errol, I'm going to turn around.
This is a cube, by the way, with reds and blues and green and yellow and whatever. Okay,
a whole bunch of different colors. Yeah, just like a Rubik's Cube, but it's one little block.
One piece.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like a die, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to turn around. What I'd like for you to do is to mix it up in your hand so that you land on a sort of a random color. And just on the table in front of you, let it land. And whichever color you've landed on, I want you to cover with your hands like this so that no one can cheat, can accuse me of cheating.
Right.
And
you're
have a look at the
looking.
Color on top right. that you've landed on.
Yeah.
Focus on that color. I'm going to turn around right now.
Okay, let me just give you a rundown on what's happening. I'm shaking this Rubik's, one block of multicolored sides, and I've put it down on the countertop, on the desktop, right? And I've now covered my hands with it. Okay, I've got a color.
Good. So you've landed on a color. You're having a look at the color that you landed on.
Yes.
Focus on that color. Now, you got your hands over it. There's no way I could see anything.
There's no way. He's not even looking at me.
And this is just a very simple experiment. I just want you to think of that color in your mind, in your mind's eye. And it's definitely something which is like a cool sort of color. So I'm not getting like yellows, reds, not even white. It's not. It's not warm. It's not cool. It's sort of, is it green? Is it green that you're thinking of? It is green. Do you want to do it again? Go ahead and mix it up. That could have been one more time.
You know, it's not often I'm speechless. I'm now completely speechless. All right.
Go
so
ahead,
I'm shaking this thing again. It's now landing on the table, and everybody's heard it. Okay, it's covered. I'm looking at the color right now.
Okay, you got
that. Gillen is not even looking at me. Yes.
No. Okay. So keep it completely covered.
Yes.
I'm going to turn around so I can look into your eyes now. Think of that color.
Yes.
Okay. I don't feel that it's green again, but again, it's not warm. It's not cold. Just in your mind, don't move your lips or anything. Just in your mind, repeat to yourself the color over and over as if you're saying it in your mind over and over.
Yes.
Black. Black. You're saying to yourself, black. Am I right? It's black.
I don't know what to say. I think that is just unbelievable. Now, there's a trick, and you're going to say, well, it depends what you call a trick. But how is it that you're able to latch into what I'm thinking? I haven't said anything. You're just looking at me and picking up that word, picking up the color.
Yeah.
And you've done it twice in a row now. So what is it? What do you latch on to?
It really depends what we're doing. So, you know, if I'm going to read a complex secret or a thought from your mind, or as opposed to a simple color like that, there'll be different things. It depends on the people, and that's the whole thing that's dynamic about a live show, is that I never know who's going to come up.
Yes.
So I have to have that whole arsenal of ways to read people that I can try getting to different people's minds.
Now, that assumes then that you have to be very innovative all the time with the show you're presenting, because I guess there are a lot of people who are doing the kind of entertainment that you're doing, and probably a lot of them are doing similar things. So in order to stay ahead, you have to do innovative things.
Yes.
Is it a constant thought, constant process on your part to think of something new to do to capture your audience?
Absolutely. Firstly, there's not many of us here in South Africa. But in terms of mentalists globally, that is something that I need to be conscious of, is to have absolutely new things. So I'm always working on new stuff. One of the things that we have in the show is, if you've ever seen the movie Inception, or if you've ever heard of the concept of lucid dreaming, which is when
yes.
you're in a dream and you're
yeah.
aware that you're dreaming.
Right.
We've actually got a machine that this is the first time it's ever been done, to my knowledge, anywhere in the world,
yeah.
that we connect a person to this machine. It reads things like the person's vital signs, brain activity. It logs all of that information and compares it to a database of imagery, which is linked to this type of information, to create a digital representation of what that person is seeing and experiencing in their mind. And in that way, I actually have the audience see a visual experience of what this person is seeing, the lucid dream that they're having in their mind, and they witness how I extract secret information that I have this person just merely think of before they go into the dream. They see me extract that in the dream.
Gosh.
So it's you know, things like that have to be developed.
Is Derren Brown one of your role models? Do you rate him? Do you say,
do.
Well, he's not perhaps a role model, but he's very skilled at what he does?
Derren Brown is extremely skilled at what he does. I love all of his work.
Mm.
We're very different. We've got very different styles, so I don't try and replicate what Derren does.
Mm.
But people who Derren has worked with, I work with. You know, it's a small world with technology, and all my mentors are of the likes of Derren. So I absolutely respect and love his work, yeah.
What's the best thing that ever happened to you? What is the one thing in your life that you've, wow, that has been absolutely a changing point in my life, that's been the biggest thing that's ever happened to me? Is there one?
There are a few. I'll give you one which was recent, actually, and it speaks to the purpose of why I actually do this. I made some changes to my show, and we had some dress rehearsals at a school hall, and we needed a test audience. So I asked my family and friends to invite anyone they knew, families, because you know, it doesn't matter the age of people who attend my show. And there was a family who came. They came via people who knew my mother. And this one family had a 10-year-old boy. And the feedback that we got from his mother afterwards, because my show has an undercurrent of inspiration and empowerment, you know,
yes.
that we can all do so much more with our mind than we could ever realize.
Yes.
And the focus is not on what I can do. So it's not, hey, look what I can do. It's more what you can do. And this 10-year-old boy from this family was really struggling with the project. I think it was either at school or at home. And he said to his mother, if Gilan says that if we believe we can do it, then I can do this. And he went and completed this project that he was really struggling with. And his mother gave that feedback to my mother, who passed it on to me. And that was that's one of those moments.
Fantastic.
That you think to yourself, you know what, if a 10-year-old can get the message and be emotionally affected, really it counts for all of us. And I feel like that's part of my mission completed.
Right. Now, the carte blanche episode that you were on a couple of weeks ago with Derek in that car, a lot of people were doing the ooh and the ah thing. Were you driving around blindfold and you're
yeah.
reading Derek? Now, I mean, there has to be some way that you, I don't know whether you can actually see the track in your head, or you're focusing in what Derek's talking about or what Derek's watching. Is it similar to what we've just done with the cube, where you can actually pick up? He's shrugging his shoulders. Yeah, I'm not expecting you to give away stuff, but is it to do with actually sort of what we've been doing here in the
yes.
studio?
Yes. So the reason I shrug my shoulders, there's nothing to give away other than to say it's a combination of things. And sometimes when we get any sort of hunches or feelings, we create an image in our mind based on that. So whether it's you ask, am I seeing the image of the road in my mind, or am I just
yes.
it's all of it. In fact, when we were busy driving and Derek lost concentration, I nearly drove the car off the road, and I actually had to stop and ask him if he lost concentration, and he admitted that he did. So
that was for real.
It's on the insert. They actually kept that in because of how that nearly happened.
I am blown away. I'm really knocked out. Now, just let's talk about, we're out of time, let's talk about your performances here. You're on Friday night at the Lyric.
Yes.
One night.
Yeah, I've been taking my show. I've done Durban. I was in Joburg a little bit before for 2 weeks.
Yes.
In July. And we had such great feedback and reviews from that show that we decided to have a one-nighter at the Lyric.
And then you're off to Cape Town for a couple of nights. And people can book for your show here at CompuTicket. Your show in Cape Town will be at the Theatre on the Bay. But here it's at CompuTicket. Or you can book at the Lyric box office as well, which is 011-248-5000. 011-248-5000. You're amazing, Gilan. Thank you. That's Gilan Gork. Thank you so much. And I will be at your show, and I'll certainly look at you and wonder how the heck he does that. I think it's amazing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That is Stephanie Mills, Never Knew Love Like This Before. And I'm happy to tell you at 8 minutes past four that Gilan Gork, our guest, he's agreed to stay for a few minutes longer because I just am absolutely blown away by what he's been doing and talking about. And if you've just joined us, Gilan Gork is the mentalist and he is performing around South Africa and he does the most amazing things on the stage. So we want to do one other experiment. But before that, I was just asking Gilan off air about predicting the future. Not necessarily word for word, but in broad terms. You were talking about headlines. Mm-hmm. What happens for you in your head? How does it work in your head when you actually see that thing? Do you see the headline? Do you see the event? What do you see?
It really depends what it is. Experiments that I've done before, in fact, people can look for it online. If they go to my website or my YouTube channel, they'll see a video where I seal a prediction a few days ahead of time. And on the day, we have the newspaper there, and I've predicted what the headlines are. In fact, it was just after the last elections, so I had even some statistics there to do with the elections. But to answer your question, it really depends what it is. You know, yes. I guess it's like anything. If someone calls you and you think to yourself, hey, this person is going to call me, and a second later
sense
the phone rings.
Sense of déjà vu.
Exactly. Okay. So it could be something like, it depends what it is. And then predicting can even go from headlines to predicting what people will do or say. So for example, in my live show, I predict what multiple people in the audience are going to do or say in advance. And I have a prediction full view for the entire show. And right at the end, I show how I knew what every single person would do before they even knew that they would do it. So that's a whole different
concept. You mean you'll write that down on a piece of paper?
Yes.
And you'll stick it somewhere and look at it at the end of the show. And that's exactly what has happened.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can you do it to order? I mean, what is going to be the winning lotto number on Saturday? Now, you know, you wouldn't
yes.
know that.
No. I don't do lotto numbers,
no.
Unfortunately.
Or events like, I don't know, some major event that's going to happen, that's going to be some disaster for the country, for the planet. Mm. Are they that extent, or are they small things that just kind of occur to you?
You know, I'll never ever do anything with predictions if I have a bad feeling about stuff. I've never ever predicted a disaster before it's
yes.
happened. Otherwise, why wouldn't one do something about it? Or sometimes my predictions will be close to it.
Yes,
but you'll know that I knew what was going to happen. But the exact story and the details are not there. So it really depends. And but at my live show, people will actually see me predicting what will happen in advance.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Let's do this.
One
other experiment. Okay.
We warmed up a little bit earlier by doing an experiment where you were thinking of a color of a cube,
yes.
and
mm-hmm.
I would then tell you what you're thinking of. And this is a little bit more complex. We're going to try and make this as difficult as possible for me, in fact. We have over here a novel. Really doesn't matter what it is. The fact is that I think there are probably about 300 and something pages. How many pages are in there?
There are 298 pages.
298. So think of a number between 1 and 298.
Yes.
Say it out loud.
Oh, 150.
Look at page 150?
150.
You're going to turn to page 150.
Oh.
And you can change your mind if you like.
No.
If you want to change
it happened to be the first page I opened.
Oh, really? Okay.
All right, I got page 150.
If you like, you can change your mind or you can say
I'm
on that
cool.
page.
No, I'm
there's
cool.
probably, what, thousands of words in that book?
Many thousands.
Many thousands of
yes.
words. But here's what I'd like for you to do. I cannot see the page that you're on. I want you just to skim down and just scan the page, get a feel for whatever is written on that page.
Yeah.
There's no picture or anything, just to give people an idea at home. It's just full of words.
Yep.
I would like you to think now of a word. It can be any word you like, but don't make it too easy. Don't make it like and or if or
yes.
He or she or house or whatever. Make it a nice complex word, something. I mean, really make this difficult. You know, the colors was one warm-up. Just try make it as difficult as possible, a word that you don't think I'll ever get. Nice, long, challenging one. Let me know when you have a word in your mind. Don't write it down anywhere. Don't say it out loud. Have you got it in your head?
I have it in my head. I've got a picture of it as well. Is that what you want?
Okay, yeah, good.
Yes,
I've don't got a forget picture. That. So you thought of a word in the book. It's in your head. Close the book now. Okay.
Done. I haven't got the
now,
book
there's
in my
absolutely
hands
no evidence of what it could be. It's purely in your head.
Yes.
And you've got a picture of it as well, which is interesting because men think in pictures. I do that as well. Visualize it. Almost imagine that you're trying to beam that picture over to me. Imagine that you're trying to, you know, almost email it into my mind. Okay.
Yes.
Really try and now here's the difficult thing. Because you're thinking of in pictures,
yes.
I may be getting the same sort of picture, but I may not know the exact word.
Okay.
What I'm sensing in my mind, Errol, is something that starts with an S. What is the word that you're thinking of start? What's the first letter of the word that you're thinking of?
It's two syllables.
Don't tell me the syllables. Just the first letter.
It starts with an M.
Okay, so it's not what I was thinking of. What I was thinking of with an S was a scooter, like a. But because what I'm getting is like. Does that make sense to you that I'm thinking of a scooter?
Yes.
It does? Okay, so let me tell you what I was imagining in my head, okay?
I don't believe this. What were you seeing in your head?
Well, I was seeing two wheels, but I'm not sure of the proportion. So I wasn't sure if it was like one of these little scooters that you stand on with the handle and you push with your one foot, or whether it's something with like two big wheels, almost like a bicycle, or probably motorcycle. Motorcycle?
Yeah,
what is the word you were thinking of?
Exactly, motorcycle.
Motorcycle. Well, there you have it.
Listeners, this is one word out of a book that contains nearly 300 pages. I haven't written anything down. I haven't
you
said
really
it.
Thought of it in your mind. In fact, let me turn to you. Said your page was
150.
Page 150. And let's try find motorcycle. There it is, motorcycle right over there. Yeah, on page 150. That was fun.
You're very impressive, Gillan. Very impressive indeed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. And break a leg with your shows, this one and whatever your future shows and your future career. I think you've got a massive career ahead of you.
Thank you so much, Errol.
Cool, thank you.
AM.